everybody. Welcome to another episode of The Comic Source. I'm Jace.
I'm Manny.
This episode, we're going to be talking about some books that came out on December 21st, so last Wednesday. Mostly DC books, but Manny has one Marvel book he wants to talk about. So let's kick it off with Action Comics number 969, written by Dan Jurgens, art by Patrick Zercher, and colors by Arif Prianto. I really liked this issue. It was, I don't want to say heartwarming, but it gave some insight. You know, oftentimes you get these two-dimensional villains and you don't really care and you just wait for Superman to kick the crap out of them, but it kind of gave some backstory. There was some mystery to why, or where they were, why they were doing what they were doing. So I thought that was really interesting. Plus the continued mystery of who exactly is this Clark Kent. The art by Zercher is pretty well done. I mean, I'm a fan of Patrick Zercher. I did think that the art in this particular issue looked a little stiff. I'm used to seeing his art be a little more fluid. So I don't know if it's because he's inking himself here, but definitely some fine lines, and thought it was interesting, so I really enjoyed it. I almost forgot that I was reading a Superman comic, you know, in the middle with learning about this squad of, I thought they were from the future, but now I kind of wonder. So anyway, I thought it was really good. I'm really at this point though over Lex Luthor being a quote-unquote good guy. I'm ready for him to just go back in his villain box and be, you know, Lex Luthor bad guy. He's at this point with the whole ambiguity of it, I'm kind of bored with that. So it's pretty good though. Can't wait to see what next issue holds. So really enjoyable issue. What do you think?
I kind of like the fact that they went away from all the Lex Luthor, Superman, the Clark Kent for a little bit, and kind of took us into a different world, literally. And in the end, it'll all tie in together with Lex Luthor being the new leader of Apocalypse. I agree with you, the art. I like the art. But the only confusing part with me was the teleporting place that went into the jungle or something like that. I didn't really understand that. But other than that, it was enjoyable. And kind of like you, I'm ready to at least to see Lex Luthor back at the helm of Apocalypse. But not necessarily continuing as the quote unquote Superman, because it just doesn't fit him. I mean, it was cool for a while, but Like any other character, a villain is best when he's bad, not when he's turned good.
Yeah, that building in the middle of the jungle, okay, so you remember the first issue of Action Comics that was focused on the mysterious Clark, and he broke into that one building, and then Superman went and saved him, and they had the talk on top of the building the following issue.
Yeah.
And then the building, Superman he talked to that Clark Kent, and then took him to his Fortress of Solitude, ran all the tests on him, and then they went back to investigate the building, and when they went back to investigate the building, it was gone. And then later, a couple issues went by, then Superman found it, and he went to explore it with Jonathan, Superboy, and they didn't really find much, but that building's been in the jungle, so I suppose it'll all link in together at some point, I guess. My guess at this point. All right, the next book I'm going to talk about is Batgirl of the Birds of Prey, number 5. Now, Manny's been out on Batgirl of the Birds of Prey. I kind of stuck with it. I wanted to see how this first arc finished up. So, Who is Oracle? Written by Julie Benson and her sister Shauna Benson. It's Roge Antonio on the art for this issue rather than a Claire Rowe. The art's still really, really well done. And we have Alan Pasalacqua on colors. So we finally, in this issue, find out who the Foracle is. And it's definitely not what we expected. I don't know if I can really get behind what the sisters have done. I mean, I don't want to ruin it for those of you that haven't read it, but it's kind of something we've seen before, but it doesn't necessarily sit right with me. But there is kind of a twist right at the end with Huntress, Helena Bertinelli. She finds out something that could really throw a monkey wrench into the whole business. So, it's strong writing. It's clever. It's interesting. Again, the sisters did something of a cliche. It's been done before. I don't know that I agree with it. And I also don't know if I agree with the reaction the Birds of Prey are having to Foracle now that they finally have come face to face with him or her. So that's kind of up in the air. I'm definitely still in because I want to at least read the first arc, which I have a feeling it may conclude next issue. But I don't know. It kind of feels like there's something missing. So I'm not quite sure what that could be. I just feel like the series started out a lot stronger. The last couple issues have kind of been a little bit down for me. The first few were really, really great. So maybe it's just a matter of pacing. And for all I know, next issue could wrap up with a bang, and I'll be really impressed. I don't know. So we'll see. I'm still in for now. But it's, you know, I can't read everything. Time and money are factors to consider. So this one may be creeping down the list for me. All right, next up we have Detective Comics number 946. Writer James Tynan IV, pencils by Eddie Barrows, inks by Iber Ferreira and Juan Ferreira, and colors by Adriano Lucas. I'll let you go first on this, Manny. What'd you think of Detective 946?
I found it a bit predictable. The way that all of the members of the team that's left kind of, in a way, trapped each of their counterparts that they were facing from the victim syndicate. And, I mean, I understand the remorse above the death of Robin, but it's kind of dragging on a little bit. I am kind of ready to know who that leader is from the victim syndicate, and just ready for it to kind of move along. Like, it's just too gloomy for me. I love the artwork. The artwork's really good. It's done well. And then the ending to it also, I also found that I saw that coming since a couple of issues back, but I'm just ready for it to kind of move along. Not sure what it is about Detective that I kind of, the last two arcs I've been just, all right, let's move it along. Like, it was cool for a few issues, but for me, it kind of drags on a bit. So we'll see what the next issue lies, see if it wraps up or if it's just going to drag on a little bit more.
Yeah, because you were really digging this arc for the first couple, and now you're ready for it to be over.
Yeah, I kind of compare it to the same thing that the problem with that The Walking Dead is having right now on television, is that, you know, you can take a gloomy episode or two, but I mean, once it starts dragging on a couple of longer, you know, that's not really what you're into, that you want to read about. Just a lot of remorse, a lot of looking back, reflecting, you know, blaming others and things like that. And you're just kind of ready for some action, for some cool plot twist or something like that. But the whole thing with spoiler, they've been setting it up for a while since the first issue of the arc, and the more in the second. So I'm just kind of, let's get some action going. The first arc was amazing with Cassie's dad. I'm sorry, Kate's dad. And, you know, they're trying to take down the team, and, you know, there's a threat coming and whatever. But this, then they moved on to the Monster Man, which also dragged on, I think. And then this one, same thing. It started off with, like, as a really cool concept, but I mean, it is, if you really think about it, not much has happened since then. So, let's move it along.
Yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with what you're saying, and I find myself wondering, so let's say that all these Rebirth books were monthly books, right? And so as a writer, you'd kind of plot out your long-term plans. You say, okay, this is the story I want to tell this year. I have 12 issues, so let me break it down into the component parts. This is going to happen in this issue, this is going to happen in this issue, and so on and so on and so on. So everything fits, and you can have it paced properly, and it's, you know, you spread it out over 12 issues. Well, these are bi-weekly books, so they're coming out every 2 weeks. So all of a sudden, instead of having 12 issues, you have 24 issues. And so it almost feels like instead of giving more story, they're kind of just stretching the story ideas they have already. You know what I'm saying? And then you end up getting books that move at a slower pace. You still get the same amount of story per month, but because they're coming out twice a month instead of once a month, less forward momentum in each particular issue, you know what I'm saying?
No, I get that, but I mean, he did Eternal and then Batman and Robin Eternal, and it didn't feel this slow.
See, I didn't read Batman and Robin Eternal, and there were issues of Batman Eternal that I was just like, oh man, this is like just, I could do without this, you know, especially because the art on some of those issues was so terrible. So, I mean, I don't know if that's what's happening here. I kind of get that feeling. It's like, it's not moving at half speed, but I'd say it's moving at like 3/4 speed. Like, I feel like they're padding it out a little bit, you know? So if you take every three issues, I feel like you're getting 2 issues. You know what I mean? So each issue has about half more than it needs to, or half less, I should say. It takes 3 issues to make 2 regular issues. There's about, you know, a third of each issue that could be cut, in my mind. It could just move along a little faster. Because I totally agree with you. It's like, can we just pick up the pace a little bit, you know?
We had the same thing on Action for a little bit during that Doomsday fight that just seemed to last forever.
Yep.
But there's other books like Flash, Cyborg.
Green Lantern, Green Arrow.
Green Lantern, Green Arrow. Hal Jordan and the Green Lanterns. I feel like they're doing just fine. Wonder Woman has an advantage because it has 2 storylines.
Yep.
But at the same time, I mean, all these other books are doing a really good job at just pacing. Even though, I mean, you could argue that Batman's been standing in front of Bane for a while.
Yeah, but I didn't feel the first arc dragged. I am Gotham arc. But yeah, I am Suicide arc is definitely feels like it's moving along at a snail's pace. That being said, like, the art in this issue is absolutely amazing.
I agree.
I mean, particularly the page with Cassie where it's like profile of her is stunning. So I can't fault the art. It's really, really a really beautiful book to look at. But yeah, it feels like this isn't the only book where, and this might be why it feels like it's dragging to us, you know, this one and Action both have kind of this mystery at the center of it. Like right now, this mystery of who is this victim one or whatever. And it's just like, can we just get to it already? And over in Action, it's like, well, who's Clark Kent? Can we just get to it already? You know, when they have these mysteries or questions that are at the center of the story, I think it's more obvious when it drags a little, you know what I mean? Just ready to have a little more meat to the story. So
yeah,
I don't know. Oh, an okay issue, but yeah, I'm ready to just like, I think even if this issue had, we just found out who the first victim was, I'd be okay. But this is what, part 4 of the Victim Syndicate story, and we still don't know who the main villain is. I mean, come on already. Let's get the show on the road.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, next up we have Flash number 12, written by Joshua Williamson, art by David Jean-Felice, colors by Ivan Placencia and Chris Sotomayor. It was okay. I was glad to see the storyline wrap up. This one really didn't do much for me. The first one was so good. And, you know, Shade, as a villain. And it doesn't really seem like Wally and Barry are in much of a different spot right now as far as how much they trust each other than when they started. I mean, Wally trusts Barry a little more. He'll probably be a little bit better student, better sidekick, probably listen a little more, being that going out on his own kind of caused some issues, so I can see that. But other than that, I don't know, this one felt a little bit like a throwaway. And, you know, the biggest problem I've had with Flash since it started in DC Rebirth is just the art. The art has been very subpar, and this issue was no different. This was worse than most. I found the art to be pretty darn terrible. So, it's too bad, because Flash has been, since the New 52 started, has been consistently one of the better books. But with this art, it just... Like, if this guy were the regular artist and drew every issue, I'd probably have to drop it. That's how bad the art is, in my opinion. What are your thoughts, Manny?
No, part of what you said, that's kind of what I look into an arc, is where are the characters by the end of the arc? What has changed? You know, what's the status quo now? You know, so maybe something in a relationship or a revelation that kind of shakes the characters. But they're kind of like you said, they're pretty much right where they left off. It's very interesting how the contrasting between this Barry Allen and the TV Barry Allen, because the TV Barry Allen seems like he can't wait to tell whoever his secret identity. I mean, I'm surprised it's even a secret identity anymore with how many people know. But yeah, I mean, Shade, because kind of is, I don't know, it feels like maybe it's an interlude to a bigger story that Williamson has planned. So, you know, I'm still obviously in on the Flash, but I don't see this having any repercussions of anything, because he still hasn't told Wally his identity, which I for sure thought he would have done. But no, we're still in the same place. As far as the artwork, you know, it seems like just more like they sketched it. Seems like something I would have in my sketchbook rather than it should be in a comic book. And to some degree, I didn't mind that. You know, it also kind of reminds me of a little bit of the art on the book on Hex 11. It had that feel for me, you know, a little bit more of a sketch quality. But yeah, just nothing really important here. Nothing... nothing. Being the end of an arc, I would have thought to have some sort of revelation, some sort of clue as to what's coming next. And instead, it's just Barry asking Iris on a date.
Probably the best part of the issue. Again, let's. I mean, this is part three, right? This whole Shade little story took three issues. Easily could have been done in two, or one 40-page. One annual.
Yeah.
Because...
I don't know, yeah, it feels like an interlude to something else, but we didn't get any hints of anything coming up, so...
Yeah, I mean, the fact this took three issues is like, really? Three issues of bad art? I'll pass. Alright, next up we have Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, number 10. This is more like it. Well, let me say, first of all, that Robert Venditti's the writer, Ed Bennis the artist, and the colors are by Jason Wright. This was good action. good story development, good pacing. You know, it's just like you said, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps comes out twice a month, but it never feels rushed. It never feels like you don't get a full issue. It never feels like they're padding the story or stretching it out. Just issue in and issue out. It's just a solid comic. Great story. Great characterization. Venditti's really great at playing the long game and dropping hints along the way of crazy things that are coming up. The art by Bennis was outstanding, especially in the Emerald space. The spooky green smoke and seeing a lot of the old lanterns, classic DC Green Lanterns that have died over the years. Like Katma 2 and Tomar Ree. So yeah, really, really good. Great to see Kyle, of course, but the best thing about the issue was just how they were dropping hints, specifically Abe and Sir. You need hope. You need hope. So that tells me that we're going to see a return of the Blue Lanterns. Yeah, it says right there, the Green Lantern Corps waits for you. Tell them, find hope or all is lost. So we know the Blue Lanterns are going to be showing up. That Saint Walker will be making his return. My Blue Lanterns are my favorite. Love Saint Walker, so I can't wait for them to return. One thing I wasn't necessarily happy to see was at the end who the Grand Collector was. I mean, it makes sense, but from the return of my favorite lanterns to the return of my least favorite lantern, he's just an annoying character. Could have done without that. But the art is outstanding. Yeah, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps is right up there with Green Arrow as my favorite. They're both just slightly edging out Wonder Woman. Probably because in the case of Green Lantern, I just enjoy the character more. You know, I've never been a big Wonder Woman fan. It's only been since I started following Wonder Woman with the Meredith and David Finch run and then into the Rebirth run that I really have read it on a regular basis, whereas I've been a Green Lantern fan since, like, I was, I don't know, 13, 12 or 13. So, no, probably even before that, probably about fifth grade when I really started getting into Green Lantern pretty heavily. So, many, many moons ago. What did you think of this issue, Manny?
Unlike you, I really loved the reveal at the end because I, for whatever reason, I never saw it coming. when he reaches out and I see the the orange, I was pleasantly surprised to see Laura Freeze. You know, because he's got lanterns now and they're his, obviously. But a really cool issue. I mean, they have so it has so much in it. I mean, just we have Brainiac. You have Laura Freeze. You have past lanterns, you have Abin Sur, you have Kyle Rayner, you have Guardians, you have Yellow Lanterns, Hal Jordan, the Thought of Hope. I mean, so much packed into one issue, and it, you know, it all flows to comes together so naturally. I mean, you can kind of see the relationship between a lot of the different color spectrums. And you see the importance of Hal Jordan and also the importance and the power of Kyle Rayner and his ability to bring back Hal Jordan, who was dead, but in theory wasn't, because they kept saying that he didn't belong there. So overall, very, very cool issue. It's going to be interesting to me to see how it plays out. Does Hal Jordan go after the trapped members, or I mean, is he going to go off to find hope? And what's Kyle Rayner's position going forward? Or what about these Guardians? You know, so many questions that I want answered, and it's going to happen biweekly. And I guess that's a reason why you can do a biweekly book like this, because there's a lot to cover, and you have two issues a month to explain it. So Overall, very, very cool. And the more Lara Freeze in the books, the better for me, because he's one of my favorite Lanterns just because he makes me laugh.
Yeah,
I never liked this style of Brainiac, though. It just is too robotic for me.
It's classic.
Don't like it.
Classic mid-80s.
He's not green.
Brainiac. One thing I did wonder about is, so Hal saw all the rest of those Lanterns in the Emerald Space, and Kyle was able to pull him out, you know, whether he belonged there or not. Could we possibly see the return of some of those other classic Lanterns? Could we see the resurrection of Abin Sur? Could we see Cat Matui come back? What would that do to Jon Stewart? What would that do to Hal Jordan? Seeing these,
I don't know. It seems like there's every few issues in a lot of books, there's a spread of Hal Jordan returning, whether it's from deep space or death or some void or something. Can't Hal Jordan seems to always be returning.
Can't keep a good Hal Jordan down.
He's like Goku.
All right, next up we have New Superman number 6, written by Jean Luen Yang, pencils by Victor Bogdanovic, inks by Richard Friend, and colors by Hi-Fi Design. Still really enjoying this book. This issue really sees Kenan Kong start to come into his own as far as realizing that his powers have been fading in and out, and basically has to do with him when he loses self-confidence and starts having doubts, his powers disappear. And so he's starting to see that in order for him to keep his powers and maintain his powers, he needs to kind of channel what he thinks Superman should be as far as fighting for democracy and truth and freedom and things like that. So it's pretty interesting being that this is set in communist China. So really enjoying this book. Enjoying seeing Kenan start to grow as a character. A little bit of a twist at the end. We'll see where that leads. As far as the art goes, you know, Victor Bogdanovic, I think this guy is a superstar waiting to happen. It's only a matter of time before he gets on a high-profile book and he just takes off. You know, his style is very reminiscent of Greg Capullo, and we all know what happened when he got on Batman. So, wouldn't surprise me at all. Now, you haven't been reading New Superman, have you?
I haven't found myself getting into it.
Yeah, fair enough. It's definitely not for everybody. All right, next up we have Red Hood and the Outlaws number 5, written by Scott Lobdell, art by Dexter Soy, and colors by Veronica Gandini. First of all, let me just say, Dexter Soy, his art fits this book so well. I love his action scenes. I love his page layouts. Backgrounds can be a little light at times, but that's okay. I like what he does within the panels. He uses a lot of angles. Particularly, kind of his signature move is to kind of be at ground level, looking up at the characters. And he puts detail in the background when needed, but his character work and figure rendering and anatomy is really spot on. So that's really what draws your eye, and you don't really notice the backgrounds are a little light in places. So as far as the story goes, I'm really enjoying what Scott Lobdell's doing here. He's taking his time to build the team, to bring these three together, the Dark Trinity, as they've been called from time to time, of Bizarro, Artemis, and Red Robin. So I appreciate that. You know, here we are in issue 5, and they're not even remotely a team yet. Bizarro really is still on the opposite side, I guess you'd say. Never been a big fan of Black Mask. Feels like Lobdell's making him a little more powerful, making him a little more superhuman, I guess you'd say. But it's a perfect combination. Really enjoy the creative team they've put together here. I think they collaborate very well. So the New 52 Red Hood and the Outlaws, and then the DCU Red Hood and Arsenal were okay, in my opinion. But this, now, even though I much prefer Arsenal and Starfire to Bizarro and Artemis as characters, I feel like this is a story that makes more sense, and I'm finding this story that Libdell is crafting to be much more interesting and much more compelling, whereas the other was just kind of your standard superhero fare, you know? It felt a little 90s with the whole anti-hero kind of thing. This is much more interesting, much more compelling for me. So I'm really enjoying it. And as a contrast to some of the other books that we've talked about, kind of dragging, you know, this book only comes out once a month. Issue 5, the team hasn't even formed yet, and I'm okay with that. I'm totally okay. It doesn't feel like it's dragging. It feels like it's moving along at its own pace, and we're getting enough character development and enough insight and enough hints about what's to come and enough characterization of the three main characters that I haven't noticed that it's been slow in any points. What do you think about this issue?
Not caught up yet on the series. Oh, still right. Working on it.
Okay, fair enough. Next up, we have Suicide Squad number 8. This is written by Rob Williams, pencils by Jim Lee, inks by Scott Williams, Richard Friend, and Sandra Hope, colors by Jeremiah Skipper, and then the backup feature written by Rob Williams, pencils by Giuseppe Camincola, inks by Francisco Mattina, and colors by Hi-Fi Design. This wraps up the first arc. Finally, 8 issues it took because of the backup features. But again, the backup features really have shined. The backup feature again in this one featuring Killer Frost and a really cool scene with Amanda Waller was absolutely excellent. Kind of leading into the Justice League versus Suicide Squad that's coming out this week, number 1. So again, this one felt like it dragged out a little, but you know, being that they only had 12 pages each issue to tell the story, it kind of made sense. I was okay with the way it all turned out. It made sense. It was good. The art was spectacular. Jim Lee art. It was awesome seeing Harley Quinn be heroic and be sane and be heroic rather than her crazy, quirky insanity that she has in her book that Jimmy and Amanda do, where she's heroic, but she's also wacky. Rob Williams pretty much wrote her as the straight guy in this issue, and it totally worked. It was very, very good. Interesting to see what they do with General Zod, now that they kind of have him under control. I know that Jim Lee's leaving the book, so I wonder if we'll get full-size issues. I would welcome that, but at the same time, I think the artist that's coming on is John Romita Jr. Did you hear that?
No, please don't say things like that.
Yeah, I'm not real happy about it either. But I think in the latest previews, that's who is solicited as the artist. I'm not sure who's doing the art for 9 and 10. It looks like Felipe Barones is on 9. 10 is, doesn't say, hold on a second, see if I can find it. But yeah, it's like, okay, well, what if you went to full-length stories? I would like that, but that, I mean, I don't want to see a full-length John Romita Jr., although he usually is relatively quick. So 10 is also by Felipe Barones. 11... Hold on, I'm checking. 11, also by Felipe Barones. So, I mean, his art's not my favorite by any means, and it, you know, it's not even a choice between him and Jim Lee. I'm going to pick Jim Lee every time and twice on Sunday. But if I'm choosing between Felipe Barones and JR, I'm definitely going with Felipe Barones. So it looks like 9, 10, 11, and 12 are all by Felipe Barones. And then with 13, which comes out in February, as I mentioned. Looks like John Romita Jr. might be taking over. Actually, no, it says Felipe Bronis is on 13 as well. So, what did you think of this issue?
I thought that Captain Boomerang stole the show.
Still doesn't make sense how he came back and had feet again.
You know? My favorite part was when he's talking to Hack, and he's like, oh, I'm God, aren't I? And he seems like really like depressed about it. She's like, no, you're not God. And he's like, oh, I'm dead. And so he went from being God to being dead and in one train of thought. I thought that was amazing. The storyline has been crazy, just like you would expect any Suicide Squad book to be. I mean, you got Enchantress holding Killer Croc in like an ice cube while Harley Quinn's riding it into action with Rick Flag blowing everybody up and Deadshot tagging in. You have Zod starting to wake up, and then you have Amanda Waller freaking out overall. I mean, there's just so much going on. And you're right, the sane Harley Quinn was really, really good. I was very happy to see Hack being used a little bit more. And then my favorite part of the book is when Captain Boomerang comes back. The first thing he does is begin to antagonize the fallen, well, at that point, not yet fallen, Zod, about how he took down General Zod by himself, and he throws a boomerang at him, ends up collapsing right on top of him. That was great. Just like you'd expect that of Captain Boomerang. It was awesome.
So it looks like I was looking at the wrong list. Those were old. Those were from New Suicide Squad. It looks like we have Riley Rosmo on Suicide Squad number 9 as the artist. Most recently, he did the Monster, Night of the Monster Men story arc. So I'm not a particular fan of his. His art tends to be very messy. Looks like issue 10 of Suicide Squad is Giuseppe Cafaro. I know the name. I can't really place the art style off the top of my head. And then Return of Riley Rosmo for 11. And then I think with 12... Riley Rosmo again on 12, 13. It looks like we have John Romita Jr. coming on with 13. So I don't know if he's going to be the regular artist going forward. So
let's hope not.
DC's making it hard on me to want to keep getting Suicide Squad. I guess we'll see. I mean, it's coming up. It's going to be the crossover Justice League Suicide Squad. I'm kind of, at this point, kind of indifferent about that. So, you know, I guess we'll wait. I'll wait and see. Try to stay positive and assume it's going to be good. All right, up next we have Supergirl number 4, written by Steve Orlando, art by Brian Ching, colors by Michael Adeye. I'm out on Supergirl. 2 and 3 kind of kept me hanging around, particularly 2. And then I thought 3 was solid, not quite as great as 2, but this is a step back for me. It was just kind of meh. The art was, even though it was the same artist, it felt very much of a lower quality than the first 3 issues. So, yeah, I'm done with Supergirl. Not my cup of tea. What did you think?
I definitely agree with you that the artwork seems to be taking a step back. I really like the style of artwork in the first 3 issues, and this one just seemed a little bit messier, maybe rushed. I'm not sure. There's especially a couple of panels in between there when her cyborg mom is like falling. I mean it just looks completely unfinished. I mean, the hand itself, it just looks really bad. Just looks like something you would sketch out when you're planning your panels, not necessarily what your final product is going to be. So, with that being said, as far as the story, I kind of have an issue when cyborgs get feelings and things like that. The whole mother thing between the cyborg mom and whatever, I was kind of roll my eyes through it. I hate it when they start giving robots or whatever feelings. It just doesn't really work for me. And then I do want to see what happens now with Supergirl returning back to Earth and helping to stop the invasion, and really want to see where it goes from there. Other than that, I'm not sure. This arc seems to have maybe it's just because it's one issue a month. It feels a little long for what it was. So I'm ready to wrap this up, and I don't know if the art doesn't improve a little bit, I might be out too, because they were really grounded at first with kind of the Kara Danvers and going to school and everything, and kind of handling a little bit more on Earth problems, which is what I kind of liked a little bit. But now they took her off world, cyborg Superman, et cetera, and they've kind of lost me in the last two issues, and I'm really interested to see what 5 brings, because that might be a make it or break it issue for me.
All right, up next we have Superwoman number 5, written by Phil Jimenez, pencils by Phil Jimenez, inks by Matt Santorelli, colors by Jeremy Cox and Tony Avena. Let me first of all say that I'm very happy to see that Lois Lane, the post-Flashpoint Lois Lane, has returned in at least some fashion. It makes me hope that we're going to see a full return of her and back into the land of the living. That being said, I feel like this book is kind of suffers from the same problem that Deathstroke suffers from, and that's too much story for the amount of story pages. So what ends up happening is Jimenez is trying to fit so many things in there that it ends up feeling choppy, because it feels like there's story panels missing, there's information missing, because when you go back and read, I mean, this is issue 5, and so much has happened in Superwoman already. Like, honestly, I feel like there's been 10 issues worth of story crammed into the first 5 issues, but there hasn't been 10 issues of art and dialogue. You know what I'm saying? So it constantly feels like there's panels missing, or there's just like more story that should be there. So this may be one that reads better in a trade, just because you can read it in one big chunk and kind of understand the narrative and where he's going with it. Because as it stands right now, it's just like, wait, what? What? And I feel like I'm constantly having to go back and reread, which is never a good thing. So, I was so excited for this book initially, thinking that it was going to be, Lois Lane with Superman's powers, and it hasn't been that. Still hoping we see a return of that, at least in some way, shape, or form. So I'm still in for now, but it could only be another issue or two before I'm out of there. So, and you haven't been reading Superwoman, right?
I have somewhat. I really like the concept of Ultra Woman. I like the concept of Superwoman. And the storyline really, really seems very, very good. And this is quite the opposite of most of the books that we read. How we're talking about some of the books being dragged on. This one seems like maybe this needed a bi-monthly. The type of story that they want to tell required a bi-monthly book, but obviously you can't necessarily sell a Superwoman book to be bi-monthly. But yeah, like you said, so much stuff going on and not enough pages. And it's one that I'm probably going to go back and read as a trade once the arc completes. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy it a little bit more, because man, there's just so much information in these books. So we'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, I agree with you in that this probably could have been one that they went bi-monthly or bi-weekly, rather. But yeah, just like you said, I mean, who's going to buy Superwoman? I mean, you probably still would have had some people that were pretty excited seeing Lois Lane in that Superwoman costume or whatever, but then they would have just been even that much more upset when they killed her off at the beginning of the first issue, and you're like, wait, I committed to buying this the first four, maybe even six issues before I read it, because it was coming out twice a month, and you know, you have to order them ahead of time if you're pre-ordering. So, man, I ordered four issues or six issues of Superwoman thinking I was going to be reading about Lois Lane with superpowers, and it turns out it's Lana, who I can't stand. Man, FUDC, and but you know, I could easily see that happening. So I'm still in for one more issue, or I'm assuming that the story arc is going to finish up next issue. That could be a false assumption on my part, but I'm in for the first story arc, and then I'll decide whether I'm going to hang around after that based on the strength of how it finishes up. Next up, we have Wonder Woman 12, written by Greg Rucka, art by Nicholas Scott, colors by Romulo Fajardo Jr. This was kind of a catch-up episode in a way. Most of the episode consisted of Wonder Woman and her allies just kind of dissecting what happened in the previous issue, kind of catching the readers up with what was going on and explaining some things. Very wordy issue, a lot of exposition. And then at the end, a big reveal that's very menacing, I'll say, for our intrepid hero, Wonder Woman. So, enjoyable issue. Of course, it's Nicholas Scott art, so it's absolutely beautiful. Don't know that there's an artist working in comics today that more accurately and beautifully displays emotion through facial expressions. Don't know if there's someone out there that does it better than Nicola. She is just stunningly good. So, really, really great issue. Wonder Woman continues to be in the top three for me of DC books. So, really enjoyed it. What about you, Manny?
I really enjoyed this issue. I like the way it's pretty slow paced throughout the entire issue. And then we get to the end and it's just big bang, you know, and it leaves you with a really cool cliffhanger. Literally having Steve Trevor hanging, and so yeah, overall I really enjoyed it. I like the way we kind of learn some more of her abilities, like talking to animals. I like that we see Steve and Diana interacting a lot while she trains or discovers her powers a little bit more. The Lasso of Truth was a nice touch. Best panel in the book has to be as she's interrogating these men. One of them puts his head down. He's crying, but as he has the Lasso of Truth in his hands, like you're talking about the emotion, the emotion that's conveyed through that panel. He's crying with his head down, and she's empathizing with him. Just completely beautiful. The colors are kind of toned down a bit there too, to kind of just give you that cool kind of sad feel. And I thought it was just done so well overall. Just really, really good. And then obviously the reveal at the end, Ares is done so well, so towering, menacing. Is exactly what how the book needed to end. So this, yeah, with an issue like this, even though it was a little bit less moving forward, it gave you a lot of information and then gave you a really nice cliffhanger at the end. So really well done.
Yep, agree 100%. Alright, the last book we're going to talk about is Inhumans vs. X-Men. I was kind of hoping over the weekend to read Death of X. I have all the issues. And the zero issue of Inhumans vs. X-Men and the first issue of Inhumans vs. X-Men, but it wasn't to be. Wife got sick, had to take care of the little one. So I didn't get a chance to read it, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
You know, it's interesting because I don't regularly pick out these type of books, especially because I've been out on Inhumans from the very, very beginning, and I haven't even read any of the classic X-Men, which I know that there's a couple of runs that you definitely suggest people to read, but just the fact that they have almost the same types of powers, I guess you can say, the Inhumans and the X-Men, the biggest difference would have to be that one Disney can use and one Disney can't. So it's cool for me to see that. I mean, I find Medusa to be such an interesting character. And then what's the guy that looks like he has a magnet on his head? I can't ever remember his name.
Black Bolt?
I'm sorry?
Black Bolt?
Yeah, Black Bolt. You see, I'm not familiar with him at all. And then, not to mention, I mean, then Charles Soule does a lot of their writing. But I thought, I'd give this a shot. And I was really pleasantly surprised to see what the conflict was. How these, I think they're pronounced Terrigen clouds. I'm not...
Terrigen.
The Terrigen clouds.
Yeah.
How they're affecting the X-Men. And how the death of Cyclops affected all the things that are happening now. So I did get a chance to go back and read Death of X, and I thought that was done really, really, really well. And so going forward, I'm looking forward to the next few issues of X-Men and whatnot, where this will unravel, because I'm wondering what kind of play Marvel has for all these characters, pitting them against each other. I mean, you have right now, you really have most of the X-Men really coming together against the Inhumans, while Beast is still trying to find a peaceful solution. But it, like you said in the beginning of the issue, he failed. He couldn't do it. He couldn't find a cure for it, for their exposure, and then now it's and now it's too late. So now you have the X-Men versus the Inhumans. So we leave the issue with pretty much the X-Men, like almost like surprise attacking them, the Inhumans, and next issue we'll see where that leads. But I mean, it has to be pretty good writing because you have Charles Soule and Jeff Lemire working on it. And then as far as the artwork goes, I thought it was done really, really well. It's almost seems a little bit more penciled than anything else. Really nice details. And so surprise for me, I'm enjoying another Marvel title.
Shocking. I saw today where this is Charles Soule's last hurrah with the Inhumans. He's been working on them for a couple years now. Marvel, you know, he's kind of the main Inhumans guy, kind of steering the whole direction of the Inhumans books overall. But this Inhumans versus X-Men is kind of his last hurrah with the characters. And after, you know, come March, I think it is, the Inhumans will be lacking some Soule. So,
for this episode, were you waiting to say that?
Actually, I stole that line. That was the article I read that Teddy was leaving used that exact line. So,
oh, I will say that the best part of this book is how they deal with Karnak, how Karnak is able to see things kind of before they happen, and the way they deal with him, I thought was really clever. Cool issue, but. You still got the same cheesy jokes. I don't know. All right. So what are your top three?
Oh, my top. I always forget the top three. I don't even know if I have a top three. It was really a week of haves and have nots. I got to go with Yeah, maybe I do have a top three. I'm going to say I got to go with Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps as my favorite book of the week, despite the fact that it ended with Larf Lees.
It's the best part. Okay, not the best part, but it's one of the best parts.
I enjoyed seeing the scenes in Emerald Space more than I enjoyed seeing Larf Lees. But, I mean, it was good. I don't know who else they could have put as the grand collector. It totally made sense. It's just, I'm not a big Larf Lees fan, so. But, yeah, that's probably my number one, but I'm going to give an honorable mention to both Wonder Woman and Action Comics. Thought they were both stories that more had to do with emotion and stories that kind of made you think rather than action-packed issues. So I thought they were both really well done. What about you? What's your top book, your top three, your top 10, however you want to do it?
My top books are probably going to be shared. Well, not really shared. I'm just going to put number one, hands down, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Court. Number two, I'm going to give it to Inhumans versus X-Men.
Wow.
And my number three...
You know that's a Marvel book, right?
Huh?
You know that Inhumans versus X-Men is a Marvel book, right?
I've never had an issue with Marvel characters, with Marvel stories either. It's just so hard to find good ones. I found myself now with you...
Well, that's an issue in and of itself.
I'm sorry?
That's an issue right there. You can't find good stories. That's the biggest issue.
You know, when I find something good, I stick with it. Ant-Man was a good Moon Knight. I like Moon Knight. I mean, all right. Anyway, I'm not gonna defend myself here. I like Marvel fine. I just prefer DC because they had the sense to restart everything and make everything easier to understand.
All right, fair enough.
Okay, Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps, Inhumans versus X-Men, and thanks to Captain Boomerang, Suicide Squad number 8.
I can't fault those picks at all. So there you have it. Those are our top books for Wednesday, December 14th. Once again, we'd like to thank everyone for joining us. Be sure you go and visit thecomicsourceblog.com for past episodes of the podcast, or you can just Google The Comic Source. We're right there on the top of your search results. You go to thecomicsourceblog.com. You can find all past episodes of the podcast, as I said. You can also watch episodes of our YouTube channel there, as well as finding links to Manny's written blog and my written blog, and of course our famous sketch gallery. We have the end of year awards coming up soon, so be sure and check that out. Let us know your thoughts, what we should nominate for best books, best artists, best writer. There's a lot of different categories. You can go and check that out. You can also follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to keep up to date on new episodes and convention coverage. Also, don't forget, tomorrow's Tuesday as we record this, so in our partnership with LRM Online, you'll be able to go to lrmonline.com and enjoy a new episode of our 9-panel grid. They come out every Tuesday. They cover a variety of topics. They're much more aimed toward the beginning comic reader or someone who is trying to discover the world of comics. And the episode we're going to record tomorrow is going to talk about previews for books coming out in February 2017. And Manny and I are also going to give our top five books or runs that we think someone who is interested in learning about comics or getting into the hobby of collecting and reading comics should take a look at. So be sure and join us over on 9-Panel Grid. Once again, thanks for listening, everybody. Talk to you next time.